hit that, you should be able to see start recording.
And we are recording. So we can go ahead and start the meeting.
Okay.
Muted
yourself, Brad.
Ah, sorry. Is that me?
Yeah, you have your phone on.
There on the computer.
Yeah, got it.
Excellent.
Okay. So do we need to take roll for those that aren't on the commission?
Well, we do self-introductions. I would say you can go ahead and continue do those.
Okay.
The port staff can start, and then we'll go to the other unfamiliar abbreviations that are at the bottom of my screen. So I'm Steve Rebuffo, Port Director.
Hey, Sharon Walsh, Port of Lost Modernization Program Director.
Cheryl Beckham, Port Finance.
Jim Jaeger, Business Continuity.
Roy Blaine, Port Engineering Manager.
Shannon Martindale, Operations Maintenance Superintendent.
Jeff Poole with Jacobs Engineering.
Bert Mattingly, FSC.
Dylan Faber with Matson.
Lev Yampolsky, Petrostar.
Tom Ritter, Alaska Maritime.
Luke Hazemake, Alaska Maritime.
Brittany Kennington, Alaska Maritime.
Anyone else?
I believe that's it.
Okay. So do we have Paul for a safety moment?
Paul is
no, we don't. So, in way of a safety moment, let me go ahead and interject. As you can, Mr. Jaeger is wearing the appropriate COVID-19 face protection. If we find ourselves in as is Sharon. If we find ourselves in a situation where you've got to be in proximity, closer than 6 feet to each other, then that is that's how we roll down here at the port. If you come to visit us, that's going to be a requirement when you come down here to the port to enter the office space wearing a mask. And I think everybody has heard enough about what all the good social practices are for protection, and we would urge you all to comply, because we certainly don't want to hear about any of you coming down with the virus between now and the end of this. So all be safe, and I think we'll figure out a way to get at least the commissioners their own version of the Port of Alaska mask. Okay. And that's all I have for safety.
Thank you, Steve. Do we have the approval of the agenda from one of the commissioners?
So moved. Second.
Moved by staff, seconded by Bob. And how about approval of the May 13th, 2020 meeting minutes?
So moved.
Second. This is Aves. I found one minor typo on page 2, Roman numeral 11, the second to the last word in the first line there is help. Looks like it should be held.
Okay, next meeting would be held on Wednesday, June. Yes, thank you for that, sir.
My pleasure.
We will make that correction.
So we have approval of the minutes with the minor grammatical changes. I guess we'll move this into you, Steve.
Hey, Brad. Okay, I'm going to keep my comments brief. It has been an action-packed 2 months since we all last got together, and I certainly don't want to steal any thunder from the staff because they've got all kinds of exciting stuff to talk to you all about. I will do, but I will take one more run, however, for those of you that tuned in a little later than the initial folks. Roy Blaine, wave your hand. I would like to introduce everybody to the newest staff member. Mr. Roy Blaine is our engineering manager, a position we've had vacant for almost 18 months now, and we are certainly glad to have him on board. Sharon is probably more gladder than the rest of us all put together. But Roy's been stepping up. He hasn't let the grass grow under his feet, and we're thrilled to death to have him. And I think he's happy to be here too, but I'll let him share that. You remember the last time we were all together, I talked about what our not reorganization plan was, but we moved some duty assignments around and job responsibilities and changed a few names. 99% of that effort is now in place with Roy coming on board. The one gap that is yet to be filled and will be filled shortly is we were interested in hiring our own GIS technician because as we mature and grow up in the GIS world, it's going to be important for us to have somebody here that can help, you know, shoulder the responsibility and execute all of the work that's got to get done to bring that database alive for us. And we thought the right idea would be to hire somebody and put them on staff. Then we talked to the GIS leads at City Hall, and the municipal organization is called GDIC. I don't remember exactly what it stands for, but they are overseeing the whole GIS initiative for the entire municipality. So instead of, and their suggestion to us was, instead of you hiring somebody on your staff, how about we do the hiring at GDIC? We'll contribute to some of the cost of paying this individual, but they will be available to us when we need them and when we finally get to a point where we may not have, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week worth of work for them, but there's still work to be done for the municipality. It's a opportunity to have that person fill their time with the GIS related work that would serve the entire community as opposed to just the port. So that tended to make a lot of sense. So that's how we're going. They have to go through the personnel hiring process just like the rest of us, put together a position description because it was a new position. And I'm just seeing a pop-up email now from the head of the GDIC office that said that position gets advertised starting tomorrow. So we're going to be on the selection committee. Sharon specifically will represent us. So we'll be part of the hiring process for this new individual. And we've given them a space to sit in when they're down here. And we will keep them very busy, at least in the near term. And that will fill the gap for our GIS requirement. And I think that gets us on the road to really bringing up to where we want it, the GIS database for the port. So I say that so that all the users could also stand by, because we may be reaching out to you guys for some data to help populate that database. And I see Sharon wants to say a few words on that subject as well.
Yeah, just to kind of clarify, so what we're basically doing is funding 30 hours a week of a GDIC employee, and the part that we had to agree with them about is that if we have just one person who only works on the port, well, if that person gets ill or gets hit by a bus, how do we keep up? So we're actually funding 30 hours to them, and all three of the technicians, physicians there, the analysts, they're much more than technicians, will be, call it cross-trained or whatever on all things court. So that's going to be great, and we'll have, we should have 30 hours a week of GIS analyst time to help us do what we have to do. So it's pretty cool. It's kind of the last piece of that. We're pretty happy about it.
So, Mr. Chair, unless there are any other questions for me, I will let Sharon keep the floor. She's next.
Oh, so I am. Okay. All right. Well, first things first, let's start with the fun stuff. I'm going to share my screen. And first screen I'm going to share was taken a week ago, last Thursday. I'm hoping you guys can see that. Make it a little bit bigger. Come on, stupid mouse, where are you? There we go. So this is what the project looked like. The phase one of the project looked like last week. These are all the piling that are in. We're all but 10 piling are in. These 10 piling just arrived on the second barge this week, so we'll finish that up. And these are rebar cages that go into the piling. Then this is what they look like before they get slotted into the piling. Then they'll be putting pile caps on them. And that would be, let's look at a different screen. That would be, they just arrived on, they arrived on Monday. And you can see those right there. So these are not set in place yet. Is everyone seeing it? Somebody say yes? Okay.
Yeah.
And so they've placed these precast pile caps next to where they're going to be installed on the piling. We just had a meeting right before this one about, you know, the methods and means to get those things on in the right place. The tolerance is very tiny. The piling had to be put within 3 inches of tolerance, and almost all of them made it. And then, you know, we had to make a few adjustments for some of the ones that got a tiny bit out of kilter. But so that's our next stage. We'll be setting these pile caps, and then we'll be pouring the deck in between. And well, actually, no, we'll be also setting the precast pieces that go in between these. And I think Jeff Gould's on the line. He can take questions, further questions on that process if you have them. And so that's what's going on with PCT part one. Is we're essentially on schedule. And so far, so good. Does anyone have questions before we move on to the next pieces?
Sharon, this is Aves.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had any complaints on the noise generated by this activity?
We had a couple of calls from Government Hill when we first got going with the pile driving, but you know, we're done. So, except for those last 10 piling on the platform, the worst of it is well behind us. We still will be making some noise when we take out, let me bring this back over here. And, when this is the temporary trestle, and so the piling underneath that have to be removed later in the year, and when those come out, you know, there'll be a little more noise, but they're going to be vibed out, and they really shouldn't be. I'm not even sure if people will notice that when that happens.
Well, good. Well done.
Thank you. Other questions?
Sharon, how many total piles were driven? I could count, but I believe.
There's 26 in the trestle and 25 in the platform.
Okay, 51. Okay.
And that's the permanent piles, and then there were, you know, quite a few piles driven for this temporary trestle.
Okay. Yep, okay.
Sharon, Simon Leshetsky here. Were there any whale?
Whales? Yes, there were. Not an excessive amount. We've so far at about 76% of our standby time. Of course, we are getting into the busier whale time, but we have to be concerned when we're working in the water, which for now we should be out of the water for most of the next month or two of work, and then in the fall or later in the fall when it's time to pull out those other piling, we're hoping we're past peak season for whales.
Is there cement in the pilings now, or are they going to cement them?
Well, you know, when I was in college, I got marked off 10 points every time I said cement instead of concrete. So I had to tweak you on that one. There is concrete in the piling. They've been driving that. They've been – but the next step was after the pile was driven, then they drilled it out, the mud that was inside, then set the rebar cages, and then put concrete
Hey, Sharon,
in
this is
there.
Ron. I know what's going on. I'm getting about every third word. I'm not sure what's happening with your microphone, but I can't hear – I hear like every third word.
How about it?
I got everything.
I got you.
Okay.
I got everything. Bye, Ron.
Yeah, this is Bob. I got you, too.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll just keep going. Apologies for that,
sure.
Mr. Captain Ward.
Where did that cement come from? Who supplied that cement in those pilings?
The concrete is coming from AgPro.
And the cement is from where?
And the cement that's in the concrete is, we would have to ask AgPro where they got that. I know that there were some that came over the dock at Port McKenzie, but I don't know if that's what ended up in this. I can't verify that for sure.
That cement had zero tariffs from the port of Anchorage in it.
Can I ask who's speaking?
This is Ryan Zins with AVI.
Oh, okay. Hi, Ryan. All right. Thank you for noting that. Other questions?
Sharon, this is Ron Ward. Can you hear me?
Yes.
We've been alerted that a concern on the pilot side is that there's been some movement on the buoys. They seem to be even more in the path of POL2 and even for a starboard side approach to Matson. They've been moved further offshore to allow a barge alongside the 450-7, and the buoys are still unlit. There's lights, but they don't work. So this is going to be somewhat of an issue, and if we can get the lights working, that would be great.
Okay, thanks for letting us know that. We'll pass that on immediately after this meeting.
Thanks.
Other questions?
And by the way, it looks great.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so there's no.
Sharon, I've got a question for you. I'm not on the board, though.
Oh, okay.
And this comes to heart with the buoys being moved or not being moved, but we would ask for a little bit how we go about getting the port to also your position to coordinate with the port to get the dredging accomplished in POL2 and POL1, because that's become a significant issue in the last 2 weeks.
Correct. And last week, the barge actually moved off the platform area so that the dredging company could get in and dredge that area that was hard for them to reach because of the barge's anchor line. They spent 4 or 5 days on it, and they've informed us they may need to come back in about 6 weeks and do it again, which is going to be quite a scheduled dance, but we continue to coordinate with the Corps to make that happen.
Thank you very much. Again, it's an ongoing concern, and the POL users have been trying to coordinate to make sure that you have a little bit clearer indication of what the windows are so that you can try to schedule that.
Okay, thank you for that. It is a concern. It affects everyone. Okay. All right. If there's no further questions on this part of the project, and the next thing I wanted to show you was the bid tabs. And on July 17th, we bid part two, and the successful bidder was Pacific Pile Marine, the same company that's putting in part one at $63,282,340. And our estimate was $68,755,500. So that's within budget. We got four bids. and we're very pleased to be able to award that project. It should be at the assembly for award on August 11th. So any questions about that? Nope. Okay, I'll stop sharing now. Other significant thing that's coming up on the assembly on August 11th is an ordinance to establish the Port of Alaska Modernization Project Advisory Board. And let me see, let me get this stop sharing thing so you don't have to stare at my desktop all day. Just a sec. There we go. And that is a 5-member board. It was introduced to the assembly last night. It's one member of each cargo company, Matson and Tote. One fuel business representative, the port director, and another member to be appointed by the current mayor. So the ordinance is written such that if the mayor changes out, they get to appoint a new person in that position. So that will be up. There's a work session on it coming up a week from Friday, and then they'll it's up for public hearing on August 11th. And the idea of that board is to have a group that is communicating with the design team as things go forward to identify the essential features of the next part of the work, the cargo docks, and make sure that everyone's on the same page going forward so there's formal endorsement by both this board and the assembly, and we don't get into the concerns that we had with when the PCT design was nearing completion. So that's another significant thing going on. Any questions about either?
Mm-hmm. Sharon, if I might interrupt, what's the name of that group again?
Port, PAMP, Port Alaska Modernization Project Advisory Board. And this is actually a change in code to create that board under the boards and commissions portion of Anchorage Municipal Code.
Okay, thank you.
This is staff. I might have missed it if you mentioned it, but I would think that there should be a representative from the Port Commission on that board.
Well, like I said, it's up for discussion. So I think Chris Constant and Meg Zalatel are the sponsors. You might want to talk to Chris about it.
I'll just step in here to Sharon's point. You know, we didn't write this thing. We weren't consulted on this thing. It was a concoction of the Enterprise Utility Oversight Committee. So, the components of it and the participants in it are what they thought was best. But to Sharon's point, last night when it was introduced for public hearing. So there will be a public hearing on it 2 weeks hence at the next assembly meeting. And, you're all invited to come and make comment on it if you'd like.
Well, virtually. Yeah. So, and the reason I think it's a communications and an alignment issue. And so I absolutely think that someone from the Port Commission should be on it. And to be honest, Brad, don't hate me, but I think it should be the chair.
Okay, well, that's good feedback. We can pass it on, or if you'd like to talk to Chris Constant directly or the municipal manager directly. Like I said, it's the ordinance came from Chris and Ms. Zalatel, so it might be the best place to direct.
I'll certainly talk to Chris, and I also think it might be good if it also if you guys were in agreement, if that suggestion would also come from you. Get them coming and going.
There's also, as I said, there's a work session just got scheduled for next on the 7th, and that would be another place, this could be talked about.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, this is Bob.
Yeah, one of the other things that's come up relative to this at the last Assembly Enterprise Oversight Committee meeting was will this sunset when the modernization program's over, or will it be around in perpetuity? And I would suggest that you may have an opinion about that. I mean, I don't know how much oversight the 23 people that run the port for the municipality are going to need if there's a port commission and this group after the modernization program's over. So
if you go ahead and Yeah. If you read the ordinance, there is a sunset, like all boards and commissions, it's coming in with an initial sunset date, which is 2023. It's ordinance number AO 2020-81, and so it's very specific to the modernization project. But and with all boards and commissions, they do look at them and decide. There's a sunset group that decides, is this one done with its job? But it's a good point to everyone to keep in mind. And just as you set these things up, they're set up in the right way for the right reason.
Yeah, this is Bob. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'll put it on my calendar to go to the assembly meeting, and I'll work with Brad to see what our interest is. I think it's, unlike you guys, I think it's very important because we have to do the tariff. We have to see where this money is going.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I would agree.
All right. So remember, work session August 7th. Public hearing August 11th, AO 2020-81. Okay, moving on just a little bit, information about the grants that working with. We have the BUILD and the PIDP grant team. We're still working with them on finalizing the agreement. It's going pretty well. It's taking a lot longer than we ever dreamed these things go, but I guess it's going on normal grant scheduling time. So We're expecting to have an agreement. It's kind of interesting. The agreement to be finalized, the target date is actually December 31st, but the costs we're incurring right now can be credited towards that. And so we've been working on how they want us to track those costs and things like that. So that's going along. We're also working on an EDA grant, Economic Development Administration, and that application is focusing on money for the design of the replacement administration building. It's, something that we need to do is get the building off the dock before we can do the cargo work, but it's an independent activity that we don't have to solve all the questions about what the docks are going to look like to move the building. So, or to replace the building. So we're doing an application for that, and, we'll be turning in the main draft of that staff, this end of this week, and we'll see what happens with that. So if we can keep progressing on that, that would be great. Get a design going in the coming year and just, chew away one, another bite of the elephant. Any questions?
How much was the grant request for?
Well, we're not finalized with it yet, and it's we're still talking about it. That it can be up to 80%, and our estimate for the design cost is about $954,000. So if we go to 80% request, it'd be about $763,000. Those are some pretty rough and early numbers, but that's what we'd expect. And if we get that design going, of course, we'll keep applying for grants to do the construction. But it's kind of tough to get a construction grant if you don't have a good design for them to look at. Okay? Questions? Okay. Well, I'm very pleased to not be giving you the engineering update. An engineering update is going to come from Roy on the other miscellaneous engineering construction projects. Go for it, Roy. Make me proud.
thanks.
Hey, Roy, if I can interrupt for just a second, Mr. Chair, there have been some folks who've joined us after we went around and did introductions. You heard Ryan Zins, but I believe Chris Taylor has joined us. And is there an Amanda McGinnis still on?
Yep. I'm still on here, Amanda, with Alaska Maritime.
Okay. I just wanted to, for the record, make sure that was that was announced. Sorry, Roy, you got it.
No worries. So since this is my first one, not sure how much detail we get into, so I'll just give you an overview of the projects that we're working. We have a couple that are getting ready or are starting off in design, including Ship Creek boat launch repair. Just kicked that off last week, working on repairing the bottom surface of the Ship Creek boat launch. It's pretty much worn out, and so we're going to need to replace on that. The second one is we sent out a RFP for the outfall replacement for four of our outfalls. That went out for design. Hopefully you're going to get that constructed next year. Then the ones that we are actually kicking off construction on would be the pile inspections, underwater pile inspections. That's actually going to kick off this Saturday. I think they're going to mobilize and start next week inspecting the 1,500 piles that we have set for this year. Global Diving and Salvage won that one, and we were pleased to hear that they're going to do all 1,500 inspections this year. They should be done by mid-September, so that's pretty exciting. We are also getting ready to go with the wharf pile enhancements by the same company. We are also working the POVI containment liner project, waiting for probably start that next week, waiting for POL 2 to get their annual hydro testing done. They completed POL 1, but POL 2 is very busy, so we got to let those guys get in there and get that completed, and then the POVI liner construction contract will get in and start working on that. That should take about 3 weeks, so we should be done at the end of August. We also are getting plans together to get the design done, but we're working to get the permit so we can get the bids out for the security camera project. 41 security cameras are being replaced due to them not working. They're at various degrees of not working. Some of them are totally blank. Some of them, a majority of them, have limited movability or focus, so we're replacing those. We also are adding a card reader to the front checkpoint one so that our security guard doesn't have to go out and swipe the card reader out in traffic. That also should, and both of those things we're hoping to get done this fall. Let's see. We're working the permitting. We're in the permitting phase for the anode sled repair. Currently on the south anode, our cathodic protection system, we have 1 out of 5 sleds that are working. So we're gonna, we're got the design done, and we're working to get permitting so that next we can get that out for construction bids this fall and get that repaired next spring, summer time frame. We also have issued a contract to a contractor to do miscellaneous concrete asphalt repairs around. This is FEMA money from the earthquake, and that should be starting here in a few weeks. Going through my list, I believe that's most of them. Is there any questions? Well, you folks are easy on me for the first one. Thank you.
I was just going to add that several of those projects are FEMA, partially going to be reimbursed by FEMA. The POVI liner replacement, the anode sled, one of the anode sleds, the asphalt repairs, and some of the pile enhancements this year are being reimbursed by FEMA as part of earthquake damage. So we're still a year and a half after the earthquake working through, fixing some of these things. It just takes that long to get them identified, designed for, and out to bid. So we're happy that Roy's here to help us get all that done.
Are any of the piling enhancements part of that?
Yes.
From there, quick. 18, and how many are we doing?
18. Do you want to take this or you want me to?
I'm not sure which ones are okay. FEMA money.
We're doing about 43, I think, and 18 of them are going to be reimbursed by FEMA, which is nice. It's helpful.
Any other questions for Roy? Okay, thank you, Roy. Good job. Well done. Cheryl, you're up.
Well, it's nice to virtually see everybody. I'm glad that we're able to get together, and hopefully everyone has had a chance to review the financial report for the period ending 6/30. I can share my screen, or if you all have it, we can just review and follow along. Any preferences?
Oh, why don't you share it for those that don't have it in front of them?
All right. I'm happy to do that. Okay. Can everyone see?
Yep.
All right. So the report is through June 30th, 2020, which is 50% through our budget year. And you'll see that most everything we have outlined is on target to reach our goal at the end of the year, as the overall operating and non-operating revenue is at 51%. You know, the breakdown between the wharfage and the dockage, those costs are always estimates, and so we do the best we can based on previous ship logs, and so we're fairly close on many of the estimates that we've made and doing quite well. You know, the dry bulk wharfage is lagging a little bit, but the timing of the, you know, the information that we have for June may be a factor there. So we'll see where we end up at the end of July. And, you know, we should be fairly good with our revenue projections for this year. So the personnel costs, we still continue to lag slightly due to the vacancies that we've had early in the year. Those things are all pre-budgeted in advance with the positions that the port has. So even though the positions may not be funded or may not be filled, they're funded. So we have funds to be able to do the hiring, which we've thankfully been able to do. Our non-labor is a representative of all of the costs that we have that, you know, run the port and do the maintenance. And with it being summer, a lot of the contracts and work that's being done, the invoices are yet to come in. So we anticipate that that will be slightly under what we budgeted, but, you know, potentially just meet the needs that we have for our maintenance group. So the legal services, I can chat a little bit about that. I talked to Bob Owens just last week when we were working on the 2021 budget. And so COVID-19 has impacted this line item. You'll see that we have $3 million budgeted, and to date, this is expenses, legal expenses through May 31st. So don't fall out of your chairs, right? So it just is a factor of the COVID-19 and the delay in some of the work that they're doing. Plus, I believe that when the judge was here, and Steve, you can elaborate on this if I'm speaking incorrectly, there was some time taken, downtime, basically, that the attorneys just were waiting to hear exactly how we were moving forward. So anything else to add?
No, I think that's a good good recap on that. I do know that we're all anxiously awaiting somebody to put a trial date on the calendar for 2021, and once we hear when that is, we'll be forecasting what the legal expenses will be for 2021, more specifically than just the big broad number that we're going to budget for.
Right. Right. That is one of the requests that we have into Bob Owens, and he has subsequently requested from SafeArth an estimate of what the trial fees will be. So we'll see that, you know, hopefully by the net, by 2021 budget time, which is ongoing right now. But, you know, for this year, we have capacity in the contract with SafeArth Shaw, you know, given the fact that we've only spent $550,000 so far this year. So any questions on that before I move on? Okay. So hearing none, we'll chat in a minute about the MISA. The MISA is our payment that's this year is calculated to be at $1.2 million. We make that payment to the general fund on July 1st. So the next report that you receive, you'll see that amount is filled in. The dividend payments we anticipate will be around $650,000. Those are made in two installments, one in August and one in October. So as we travel to the end of the year, you'll see those blanks fill in. Debt service, this is our $40 million loan line of credit that we have that we only pay interest on. These are the interest charges through June 30th, and you'll see it's significantly less than what we have budgeted, and that's due to the fluctuating rates that we get charged on the line of credit. So last year, we had a monthly interest payment of about $100,000, and this year it's gone down to the lowest has been $38,000 in 1 month. So significant fluctuation in the rates for the line of credit, which is good for us. So, and everything, depreciation and the IGC's charges from the general government, those are all standard charges from central finance and just get applied and as the month end closes. So you'll see that we have a net income so far this year estimated at $161,000. And we always add depreciation back because it's a non-cash item to come up to our available cash flow. So overall, it's a fairly stable year. We're hoping that, you know, things continue to stay on track for the revenue collection till year end. And then at the bottom, we just have our tonnage report. That's a year-to-date recap for everyone's information and any questions that might come up.
A couple things. One on the debt service. I recall in the beginning of the year, we were talking about paying that down or targeting paying that down. And then second part, just so I don't interrupt you again, would be, are there any additional costs associated with COVID-19 or savings that you're seeing? Would be my two questions.
Okay. So the debt service, the $40 million line of credit, is part of, you'll remember in February, the action went to the Assembly to incur $100 million of debt, and part of that was going to be the selling of revenue bonds to pay off this line of credit. So the line of credit will be freed up, if you will, and in direct correlation to that, the port will then have $40 million of revenue bonds. So when that action happens, then we'll see this transfer from a line of credit to a revenue bond, and then the principal will start to be paid down at that time. And I don't have a date from Ross Riswald in Public Finances, who is usually he is the person that's in charge of making that happen. So we don't have a date certain on when that will occur, but we'll be sure to just keep everybody in the loop when that happens, because the selling of revenue bonds is something that will go to the Assembly. Even though there's authority to do this, there still has to go back to the Assembly for the actual action of selling the revenue bonds. And the COVID-19 question, we haven't seen significant savings or cost, I would say, to the port. And Steve, again, you can jump in if you think, you know, my review of the numbers and things like that, I see a little bit less cost maybe than we had last year. But, you know, I can't think it's directly attributable to the pandemic.
And I have to agree with Cheryl. You know, the only real COVID-19 related impact that we've had is the loss of the cruise ship season and the associated revenue with that, which is just north of about $250,000. That's unfortunate, and there's no getting that back between now and the end of the year. So that'll reflect in how the year ends. But with respect to impact on operations, there really has not been one. Nobody has, nobody's canceled any port calls with in relation to that. So I think, so far so good. And commerce, you know, having to be what it is, I don't anticipate there being any going forward either.
Right. I would agree with Steve. And you know, the cruise ship is one of the things that we felt at the port this year as a result of the pandemic. But we have been tracking very closely the tonnage numbers across the dock, and on a monthly basis, we see that, you know, 2020 is, in the last 6 years, 2020 is about the second highest year, with 2019 being a very good year for us at the port. So all things considered, you know, we're really not too doom and gloom as far as the tonnage across the dock at this particular point. But, you know, we're, like I said, we're very diligent in keeping our eye on what's going on and the volume across the dock.
How are we with year to date? I'm assuming the numbers you have in here are total for 2019, 18. How are we year to date on petroleum?
So petroleum, I have a worksheet. I believe that I don't remember right off the top of my head, Brad. I have a worksheet that I prepare for us internally that tracks monthly the, I'm just trying to see if I can find this, year over year. So I have a worksheet that is basically a, let's see if this one is the one. Yeah, this is it. So I drag it onto my shared screen, but I potentially, can you see it or no?
No.
Okay, let me just not share this. And I'll share this. Okay. Can we see this now? Can everyone see this?
Yes.
Can you make it a little bigger, Cheryl?
Oh, I can, Sharon. Hold on. How's that?
Better.
Better? Bigger?
Couple more.
Can you make it brighter?
There we go. How's that?
Pretty good.
Okay. So this is my worksheet that I use to, you know, provide information, keep track. Steve and I talk about, you know, when we chat about things, you know, we like to have the details on, you know, where we're at exactly month to month as it compares to previous years. So you'll see I have this from, this is the chart that's at the bottom of your financial report, right? So in addition to that, on this workbook, I have the, by month, I have the totals comparatively. So you'll see 2020 was 902, this is in March, 951. So we're able to easily see, looking at these numbers in the last 5 years, was there, where are we at, really, for 2020? So what we have, and let's see, here we are for 630. So 630, which is the report that we're looking at, we see is actually higher than 2020. Petroleum, let's see, we're here and here. We have 1.2. And 1.1. So petroleum is actually higher in 2020 than it was in 2019. I do believe it was, let's see, it is the highest year. So 2020 is the highest year so far in the last 5 years through June 30th. Vans, flats, and containers, that's an easy number to see. Dry bulk, so this chart gives us the information that we need to be able to articulate, are we really doing okay? And I think for all the information that we have, our conservative assessment is yes, we are. Is there any questions or anything else you'd like to see?
Anyone else have questions for Cheryl?
No, I just appreciate the thoroughness and the quarterly comparison. It really helps.
Yeah, Bob, it's really helped Steve and I, and, you know, and Jim provides, you know, in his external affairs capacity, he provides information to all of the, you know, basically the citizens of Alaska. So, you know, having this information and being able to know that we're confident in our positive outlook, you know, it's helped us a lot.
Yeah, I must say I'm very pleasantly surprised. I was expecting some lower numbers, but this is really encouraging.
It is. That's
yeah,
what we thought too.
Even the flat, even the containers seem relatively flat.
Right. And I'll continue to update this, and if it's something that, I mean, I can easily share this along with any financial report. It's a nice positive reinforcement for the work that's going on.
Yeah, I would appreciate that, Cheryl.
Yep, sure thing.
Anything else for Cheryl from the commission? Okay. Thank you. Do you have anything else, Cheryl?
So I just want to say two things. So Parish Blessing is, you know, diligently collecting all the information that we're giving them, and as soon as we are able to combine the bids, the grants, the tariff, the rates, you know, we have progress meetings, and we're planning to bring you all, you know, the information right along to be able to, you know, make the decision and see what's going on as far as what we're going to do for next year. So just so you know, we are working on that, and hope to have it just in September timeframe, October, you know, as it as soon as we can get all of the information verified and be sure that what we bring you is accurate and correct.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Cheryl. Appreciate
sure
that.
Thing. Yep.
Shannon, you're up.
All right, great. Thank you. Thank you, Cheryl, for sharing that, as that was one of my first statements of the being told that it's busier than it has been in past years for petroleum. So that was interesting to see those numbers and how it cross-references. So, operationally and maintenance, we're working hard at getting the hydrostatic testing complete for the POLs. The underground side of POL 1 is complete, and we'll be working on the hoses of that. The POL 2, they're out there working on the underground, and then we will follow up with the hoses as well. Looking to be complete with all the hydrostatic testing by the end of August, which is in line with our deadline for the certificate. And working closely with Manson on the dredging due to the heavy infill this year and the busy petroleum season of when they can get in there and get it cleaned out, as well as working with the cranes or the one large crane to move and get that dredged out. So learning who the key players are in the communication and how and where that aligns with me, and continuing to learn my role and make operations happen.
I know this has been brought up before, but is there concern with dredging this winter, POL number 2, comparative to previous years? Are you seeing more infill because of the construction? I know that's kind of a guesstimate, but just curious how those changes, if it's just the fact that they haven't been able to get in there close, or if they're seeing more infill, I guess, would be my question on that.
I'll take a stab at this, and Steve, you can chime in where you'd like, is that it's both. It has definitely been an infill, heavy infill year, in addition to the schedule, so they have both against them at the moment.
Yeah, and what Shannon says is the correct assessment. As far as we know, Brad, the Corps is commenting that this is a particularly heavy infill year, and we haven't had one in a while. And the fact that we're trying to do a ballet around the mooring lines for the
for the construction barge is making it a bit of a challenge. I think to everybody's point, the good news is I think we're all talking to each other. And we will deconflict as much as possible. While I'm concerned about this year, I'm particularly concerned about making sure that we keep communications going for next year when we start to put in those big monopiles for the mooring dolphins and then the catwalks that have to go out to them. It's going to shrink the space required to get in a POL2 even more so. So we need to figure out how to get out of each other's way and leave both petroleum docks available until we can cut the ribbon on the PCT and take some of the pressure off of trying to squeeze in the POL2. So I have all years for the infill to decide it was going to be more than it normally is. It might as well be 2020. Nothing else has gone according to plan, so what the heck. We'll add that to the list of things we have to manage. But I appreciate the fact that everybody's been patient, cooperative, and communicating so that we're not leaving anything out when we make decisions and schedule things.
Just two quick follow-up questions. When is Manson due to depart? Are they going to stick around as long as possible? And then second would be, has there been conversations with the Corps about maybe bringing up a bucket dredge as opposed to a suction dredge so they can get in closer next year?
All right. Yeah, I'll take those, Shannon. I'll take the heat off you for that. They're not, you know, they'll be here through the end of October, just like they are every year. And also, for a side note, this is the last year of the dredging contract when Manson has it. So the Corps is out advertising for the next three-year iteration of the dredging contract for up here, and who gets that will be anybody's guess. So what's going to happen next year, I don't have a clue. Who the players are going to be, I don't have a clue. It may be Manson. It may not. It just depends on how the Corps, it's the Corps' contract. It's not ours, and we don't get a vote. So it'll be what it'll be with respect to that. Bringing in a clamshell, don't hold your breath. The Corps really likes the fact that that they've been able to use that hopper dredge to do their thing around here. If they have to bring up a second piece of equipment, nobody's going to be happy. And I don't see them, defaulting to that without a whole lot of pressure that's got to come from more than me. Or more than the port. So it's going to be incumbent on us again to keep working with them. They understand what's going on. It's not like they're being hard asses and telling us it's their way or the highway. They've been very cooperative and as flexible as they can under the circumstances. We've just got to keep talking to them and working the deconflicting challenges when they're coming. And I think we'll get through this. So, but that's not to say we can't bring it up and get some kind of an official ruling if we have to.
Yeah, Stuart used to bring it up in the past, but just curious if we had other vessels visiting other than our usual this year, today, or anything coming up, military or otherwise?
We did have a military vessel. We did have a military vessel come in last week. They brought in all of their equipment in and things to do a deployment. They got loaded two pieces on board, and then it was put to a halt, and the vessel left. And I saw communication also that they canceled the Tacoma loadout as well due to COVID. The other vessel that is potentially coming in is the Navy training vessel in September, and possibly another deployment in September.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions for Shannon from the commission? Hearing none, thank you, Shannon. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Jim, you still with us? You're up.
Thank you. So I'll break my talk down into three sections. If we're talking about external affairs, our tour and talk show has been fairly slow this year just because of COVID. We have not done nearly as many tours and presentations as we would normally do. That's probably starting to ramp up a little bit more now that we have a plan of finance for the for moving forward with PAMP. And I suspect it will ramp up as we move into the planning process for scoping out our container docks. On the security front, I'm moving into Stuart's old job as the facility security officer. We're doing some tweaking with some sign updates, that sort of thing around the port. We're working through some TWIC issues. TWIC rules are changing and some of the requirements are changing, so we're dealing with those. And on the business continuity side, our project with JBear, our power resilience project that will really aims to do two things. One, it wants to help us reduce the power costs for port users. Port of Alaska users pay some of the highest demand charges in the country, or ML&P charges its industrial users some of the highest demand charges in the country. So we're working on a system that will help us reduce those demand charges and then also provide backup power for Port of Alaska and for a portion of JBear. And we've been working closely with Department of Energy and Department of Defense officials on that. I have a preliminary study that I think we're going to have the version of that preliminary study that is we can release to public because of the security issues. I should have that within the next week or so. And then we'll move forward. We'll start meeting with the various port users to talk about how to get this program up and running. And that's my report.
Any changes to the port permission passes?
I'm sorry, any? Oh, the passes? For getting on the port?
Yeah.
No, not at this point. The real reading or the real changes that are happening is some of the requirements for what TWIC card reading capabilities the security department has to have and where they have to have them are changing. And then both proximity cards and TWIC cards, the technology is changing to make them harder to impersonate, duplicate, or falsify, and we're looking at moving into some of the, or incorporating some of those upgrades.
Any other questions from the commission for Jim? Anything else, Jim?
No, that's it.
Okay, well, thank you. Very good. Moving on to old business. Do we have any old business?
We have no old business for the commission.
Okay. How about new business?
No new business for this meeting, but as Cheryl alluded to, if we can get all the data that we need in time, we will bring to you a recommendation for what to do with the tariffs that we put in place at the start of 2020, any adjustments in accordance with what is now we know to be the PCT final costs, and just need a little bit of time to work on those so that we can, we can answer all your questions, because whenever we talk about tariffs, there's a ton of them, and we just want to make sure that we can, we can answer them right the first time.
Hey, Brad, this is Bob.
Yeah, go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Steve, as we talk about new business, was there any response or further reaction to the tariff and pay your way forward memo that Bill Falsey put out and brought to the assembly?
Are you talking about the plan of finance, Bob?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Both Mattson and Tote did make comments and presented those back to the assembly. You know, we got copies of them, but they, their requirement was to formally respond to the assembly with their positions on the matter, which they did, and which we have taken under advisement. Bill was careful to say that, you know, this was preliminary, not etched in stone. There's a lot of variables that can affect how this really finally goes, not the least of which is what it's going to cost to build the cargo docks, which we are as yet uncertain about. And a lot of work has to go into coming up with that answer. So, we're taking a look at it and factoring that into any decisions that that we finally make with respect to a plan of finance for the cargo docks. And I see Sharon's got her hand in the air again to tell you everything I said wrong.
Oh, pick me. No, to add to that, and just to give you a sense of where we're going on the way forward on the cargo docks, we have been meeting at least biweekly with Mattson and fairly often as well with Tote. We have another substantive meeting with Tote scheduled for next week about the essential features of what we need for those cargo docks. And that's going to go a long way towards any revisions to that plan of finance. This was with what everyone had put on the table that they felt they had to have. That's where those numbers came from. Once you see those numbers, it's like, well, do we really have to have that? And we're still having those conversations. They've been continual, and we're working towards consensus on it. We are shooting to have the design charrette on the first design charrette on the way forward on around in September. And at this point, we're on track to make that date. And some of we'll be giving you further details as we get it actually scheduled and attendance and all that kind of thing. So it's a pretty key couple of months here to get all the players on the same page going forward.
Thank you.
Yeah, it seems a little early to get into the financing without a design, but okay. Moving on to public comments. Anybody out there would like to make a comment, please? State your name. Please.
Yeah, I would like to make a comment. Ryan Zins with ABI, and I would just like to issue a cautionary comment. We're in the fourth year of a recession. We have a Washington contractor building our dock, Canadian supplier supplying the precast, and the cement coming from Point McKenzie. So on a petroleum cement terminal, the user pay model, there has been no user paid tariffs building this facility as of to date. So when we start looking at tariffs and costs and sending stuff, sorry, I'm winded running for my kids up the stairs, we have to be real cautious what we tell the markets, because the markets will react.
Understood. Thank you. Anything else? Anyone else?
Hello, this is Tom Reuter.
Go ahead, Tom.
Yes, I just wanted to reach out, and again, Shannon has started up in the beginning of May, and now that I see you have a new engineering manager as well, I just want to reach out again and say welcome, and I look forward to getting a good interchange of communication so that the port can provide what the users are looking for and work better together with it. Thanks.
Thank you, Tom. Anyone else? Okay. Hearing none other, Steve, your closing comments, please.
Sure, and just a couple of quick points. One of them, I want to go back to the hydrostatic testing process one more time. Recall the last time we did this, we didn't have a source of of petroleum product to put in the lines to do the pressure testing. So we actually did it with water, and the consequences that came out of that was some contamination for a couple of the users. And unfortunately, what is usually a well-oiled machine just became a mess to play cleanup with after the fact. But I wanted to extend a big thank you, a public thank you, to our friends at PetroStar, who donated the fuel this year for the hydrostatic testing process that all of the petroleum users get to benefit from. And so we're going to use petroleum in the line. I know it's called a hydrostatic testing, hydro meaning water, but we're actually not using water. We're going to use petroleum product, and I think things have gone a heck of a lot faster with a heck of a lot concern, less concern over there being repeats of the issues that we had the last time. So thanks very much for that. Also, Shannon mentioned that there was a military ship coming in September, training vessel. It's from the Japanese Navy. You guys who have been around a while, recall that the Japanese Navy brings a couple of destroyers here every few years as part of their sail around the world training exercise for their new naval officer group coming in. This year they're only bringing one. COVID-19 has dramatically scaled back a lot of what's going on, and this was affected by it as well. And unfortunately, it's going to be a very, very low-key visit.
Yeah.
They'll be here at the dock for a few days. Don't expect any of the pomp and circumstance or sushi or breaking open of sake kegs that we had all the other times they've come. This one's going to be pretty pretty low profile. But we're happy to have them come back anyway, and we're more than happy to support them for that. And,
I'm sure you mean the Japanese Naval Defense Force, Steve, because they're not allowed
the Japanese,
to have
a Navy. Japanese Naval Defense Force. You're absolutely right. Let's call them by their proper name. I can see Captain Ward is on camera. There's something I didn't think I'd see for the whole event.
No, I did figure out how to make it work. Yeah.
Yeah. And Mr. Chairman, that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner, closing comments. Not sure where to start here. Garrett?
Nothing, Brad. Great meeting, and welcome aboard to Roy.
Thank you, Steph.
I'll also echo Garrett. Good meeting. Welcome aboard, Roy. And I'm happy to see that as of yet, our numbers are still not looking like they've been hit hard by COVID-19. Fingers crossed.
Simon?
Yeah, I echo the same thing. I'm very happy to see that our revenue's the same. I was very pleasantly surprised with that. That's it from me.
Okay. Bob?
Yeah, I want to compliment the whole team. This was a very well-structured meeting with very clear information from Sharon and Cheryl and Steve and from Amanda and others. So my compliments to the new reorganization and the work you got.
Thank you. Is Andy on?
Thank you.
Who else am I missing here?
Aves.
Aves is here.
Yeah.
I want to echo Bob's comments. I want to compliment the staff on the realignment of the work assignments. It sounds like you've got the square pegs in the square holes, and people are settling in, and the numbers look good. The operation sounds good. The construction is underway. This is a very rewarding report this week. Thank you.
Yes. So I'd like to thank Roy and welcome him aboard. That's great. And Shannon, and now that she's been there a little while, and I see Jim's picking up the security stuff, so it doesn't sound like anything's falling through the cracks. And Cheryl, thank you for a nice, good report. and glad to see the fuel numbers up to make up for some of the other changes in the economy up here. Who knows where we'll be next year, but we're solid so far. But yeah, that's all I had. Moving forward, you just need to figure out, Steve, you have a recommendation for the next meeting where we'll actually have a little meat to discuss. We've got some dates there, Steve, September, October.
Yeah, hang on a second. I'm going to turn my back to you all.
I guess I left you out, Ron. You got to say something.
Well, September's actually got five Wednesdays. So I think the last three are what, 16, 23, and 30?
Yeah, but moose season runs till the 25th, Steve. I mean, you got to get your priorities in order.
We're looking at having the charrette in the middle of the month, so that may be a couple of days, a two-day operation, so it might be better to trend towards the end of the month.
How about 30?
I could live 30. With
30. Yeah.
30's good for me.
If we need to post, I'll bring the birthday cake since it's my birthday.
September 30. You did skip over me, Brad. I just wanted to thank Sharon for promising to address our concerns about the buoys and congratulate her and the whole team on how much has been done on the PCT. Every time I bring a ship in there, I'm just wowed by the stuff that's gone on, although I shouldn't be that surprised because I can hear those piles driven from my house in Anchorage. So,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say your house in Homer.
Not in Homer. And I don't hear them from here in Maine either. If you can see out the window, I'm at the lake. You can't really see it because it's too bright. There you go. That's it. Anyway, it's 5 o'clock my time, so I'm signing off. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for that.
So it's true. It is 5 o'clock somewhere.
Right. Right.
Okay, very good. So next meeting will be September 30th. Everyone seems to be in consensus on that. And thank you all. I guess we're adjourned.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Stay safe.
Yes, stay healthy.